This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle-cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no-sugar-added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Thursday night. We've got a full two-hour program this evening. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line as we take you till 8 o'clock tonight. Cardinals off day. They'll get back at it tomorrow when they welcome in the Arizona Diamondbacks for a three-game series. Cardinals looking for, I don't want to call it a bounce back, because a bounce back infers that they played poorly. They didn't play poorly. They just lost two of three games to Detroit. So they look to get back to their winning ways. Is that a good way to put it? They'll be looking to do that over the next couple days or 3 days when the Diamondbacks come to town. As always, if you want to join the program, you can do so by calling or texting. The number is the same whether you call or text, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or for those of you who are watching us on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we will get that right in, and we'll take a look at that and respond, address to some of those things that do come in over the course of the program tonight. Two sort of big topics today, and then we've got a handful of guests that are going to be on in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to be joined by Bernie Miklas. It's our weekly conversation with him here on Sports Open Line. We generally do it on Wednesday, but we didn't have time to do it yesterday because we had the City SC US Open Cup game. We'll talk more on that in a moment, but we'll get Bernie on a Thursday this week. Later on this hour, we'll talk some MLS soccer with Max Brados. He's going to be on the call this weekend in what is it's a pivotal game for City SC. No, let's put it this way. It's a pivotal game for City SC coach Olaf Melberg. If they don't win this weekend, and it's going to be tough for them to win, if they don't win this weekend, I'm not convinced that Melberg will coach another game for City SC. Again, we'll get into that coming up later on in the program. In the 7 o'clock hour, it's our weekly conversation with a Battlehawks player. We don't know who that is going to be quite yet. This is I might be, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but I think this gives a little bit of a insight into how challenging things can be for the, and look, they're not digging ditches, right? Like, I get it. There's a lot of people who do much tougher jobs and much more important jobs than football players. I understand that. But that being said, when you are a professional athlete and when you're a football player, their system, and if you're not familiar with the way things work, they're not in St. Louis during the week. The way that league works is everybody, all the teams are based down in Texas, and they're centrally located in one spot, and they go through all their work, and that way they don't have to have practice facilities, training facilities in every single various city. They can have it in one spot, and then you get to game week, and you travel to your respective location that you're going to be playing at that weekend. So when they come to St. Louis, they have to travel in for every single game, or if they're going on a road game, they have to travel to that. They're always, unless they're playing the team that's based in Arlington, they have to travel all the time. And the flight that they were on today, it was delayed. So you've got a professional sports franchise who's trying to get ready for a game, and they're delayed getting out. So that's kind of the life of a UFL football player. Again, not the end of the world, but we don't know for sure who we're going to talk to at 7:20, but we hope to talk to a Battlehawk at 7:20 or so. And then we're also going to be joined coming up later on. This is going to be fun. There's a cool event that's going to be taking place here real soon to help celebrate the 150-year anniversary of Major League Baseball in St. Louis. There's going to be an event that's going to be taking place. It's being put on by SABR, the Society of American Baseball Research. The St. Louis chapter is the Bob Brigg chapter. And they're going to be having a baseball game that's going to be played at Forest Park on May 31st. They're going to play the game by the rules of 1875. It's going to be a matchup of the St. Louis Brown Stockings and the Boston Red Stockings, which is the Belleville Stags, two vintage baseball teams in the area. They're going to have a band, a used baseball book sale, memorabilia displays, all kinds of things. So to talk about this event a little bit, which is really, really cool, Brian Flaspoler is going to be on the program as well. So that's an idea of everything that's going to be going on the program today. Again, the Cardinals lose yesterday to the Tigers. Still, they're in a really good spot right now. We talked about it a bit during the Redbird Rush Hour. I think it's notable that from a national standpoint, more and more people are starting to notice the Cardinals as being real. Jeff Passan wrote a pretty long article about the Cardinals today that ran at ESPN.com. There's just been more and more chatter. And I think one of the things that I find interesting, because all along, I mean, from the first weekend of this season, really from spring training, something that I have said over and over and over is, I don't know how many games this team is going to win, but they are going to play an entertaining brand of baseball. They are going to be a fun, entertaining team to watch. And I think that has turned out to be true. Now, they've won more games than a lot of people thought they were going to win at this point of the season. We'll see if that can continue. But they are indeed being a team that's fun and entertaining to watch. And I think for some people outside the market, and look, inside the market, there's a lot of reasons that maybe people aren't going to games and everything. And we don't need to relitigate that. That's not a conversation that I am looking to have here at the moment. But I did find it interesting that there's been, when some of these national voices are talking about this Cardinals team and talk about who they are and how entertaining they are and the brand of baseball they're playing, I do find it notable that there has been some talk about, you know, almost surprise that not more people have hopped on in the support that they may or may not be getting here. Now, that being said, that Detroit series, the attendance was better. Like, it was noticeably better. And if they can win games, it's going to continue to get better and better and better. There is a buzz around this Cardinals team right now that hasn't existed in a couple years, and that's a good thing, and it's on the Cardinals to continue to play the game in a way that keeps those people to continue to be interested in what's going on and for more and more people to hop on as well. Again, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air, or you can leave a message there in the video chat if you happen to be watching the program. Bernie Miklas, he is going to join us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's an off night for the Cardinals. That means we have a full two-hour edition of the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Right now, it's time for our weekly conversation with our good friend Bernie Miklas. You see him both from a video perspective, and you read his writing at sportshubstl.com. He's also a part of the Cardinals Territory podcast with Katie Wu, and he's all over KMOX, including the Gas House Gang and a bunch of other stuff, and he joins us right now. Hey, Bernie, how are you?
Matt, it's always look forward to you and I just having a good conversation. I'm doing fine, man.
Yeah, I'm going to read a little bit from your column from today. So I'm going to steal your numbers, but then I want to get into that a little bit because you talked about the Cardinals offense, and you started by mentioning the fact that the Cardinals have scored five or more runs 24 times, which is top five. They've had 10 or more runs six times, ties for fourth highest in the big leagues. Yet at the same time, they've scored one or no runs in 11 games, and they have been held to exactly one run, and nobody's been held to just one run in a game more times than St. Louis. So I stole your numbers there, but and I encourage everybody to go read the entire column at sportshubstl.com. But I guess when you're talking about a winning team, Bernie, we get to get a little bit picky and selective on things. Yeah, the offense and whole looks good, but it feels like it's still missing a little bit of consistency.
Yeah, and that's the point. You know, it's not a bad offense at all. In fact, it's a really good offense, and we've seen its potential. But it's just kind of weird. The only reason I wrote about it because it's just so unusual. I know that some offenses that get hot for a while, sometimes they go cold. I get it. No one's going to like basically average five runs per game. There's going to be extremes every now and then. But for example, this month, you know, the Cardinals in the month of May, they've lost six games, right? And in the five of the six losses, they've scored exactly one run. I mean, it's just strange. You know, it's kind of like, you know, they'll bomb a team out by scoring 11, 10 runs, you know, come back and bomb them out again. And then all of a sudden it's like they get held to one run, like two times, three times a week. And I was just sort of having some fun with it. It's like one of those peculiar things, but it's like, I was joking around. It's like, you know, can the Cardinals trade, exchange a couple of two or three of those 10 run games for just some, like maybe a five or six run game, you know, a couple of those. Can we, is there a way to swap that out a little bit? But they're, if they can, you know, establish more consistency, which is part of the process, then watch out, because we know they have it in them to be really, really good and in a more consistent way. Sorry.
One of the things I think about a lot, Bernie, is when teams are putting together game plans, does the game plan focus more on your strength or does it focus more on the other team's weaknesses? And how do you go about that? And with this, I wonder, it really feels like more than any other time that I can remember of my lifetime of paying attention to the St. Louis Cardinals, it feels like with Brent Brown, they are putting together almost a day-by-day game plan. They're looking at who they're going to be facing, and it's every day could be a little bit different. Obviously, it's time to hit and time to slug thing is the words that have kind of gone along with that. But I do wonder if this team is more apt to have ups and downs when maybe the game plan or the approach or whatever word you want to use might look different more so with this team than others one day to the next.
Well, it's a great observation, and you're absolutely right. They do plan, you know, they put their plan together based on the other side and the starting pitcher in particular. You know, what kind of style is he? What does he like to do on certain counts? Does he fall behind in counts? Should you take pitches? No, I think that's a great point. So every now and then, the other side will get the best of you. But for me talking about, you know, the Cardinals scoring one run or less, and it's like 13 times this year, it's like 26% of their games, which is crazy. We should also talk about, and it's something that I failed to mention in the column, so shame on me. That was not an intentional oversight. What about the long list of really good starting pitchers the Cardinals have beat up on this year? You know,
And they could have beat Scooble very easily in that second game of the Detroit series. It would have just added another name to an all-star list of player of pitchers that you beat this year.
Right, you know, they have wins against Wheeler, two against Nola. They beat Skeens twice, and his ERA against him was 5.40. I mean, I go right on down the lines. You know, Mackenzie Gore, they beat him. They beat who else? I mean, I actually ran a list earlier this week. It's a long list of notable starters that they've won games against, and a lot of them, they really roughed those guys up. So it's a good offense. I think the consistency can get better. You know, and the problem, one of the minor problems in May, because you're never going to have all of your hitters hot at the same time, but some guys have cooled down, like Lars Nootbaar has cooled down. Arenado, he had a great home run the other night, but he has struggled this month. If you look at who else? Pedro Pages has really calmed down as far as like his numbers have been dropping. And, you know, it's just like that. They right now they have a few guys that aren't doing much. And, you know, even though Walker's been doing better a little bit, you know, I looked at this and I had to chuckle, not to laugh at these guys, but the irony, I guess, like in the month of May, Gorman and Walker have an identical 154 batting average. So, you know, it's like that kind of sums it up in a way, right?
Yeah, I mean, the narrative of the last couple of weeks is think where this team has already exceeded expectations, thinks where they would be if they were getting anything from Gorman or Walker. I think it's more pronounced with Walker because Walker's in there every day. Gorman, you'd have to take somebody else out and probably somebody else who's producing, like you're getting production right now from Burleson. So, but right. To that point, and you Ollie talked the other day, Bernie, about how, you know, they keep tweaking things with Walker and they felt like the last tweak might be something, but it almost feels like they're working on something, they're using it. It works, it doesn't work, they're reacting to it, and then it's back to the lab to work on something else. I'm simplifying and dumbing down what they're doing, but it seems like this is really a process right now with Walker.
It is, and the good news is they've gotten more out of some guys, I think, than we all expected, you know, and Victor Scott being one of them for sure. Brendan Donovan's having a career year. Until his recent downturn, Nootbaar was really doing a brilliant job at the top of the lineup. Mason Wynn, after a slow start, you know, moving him to two hole, he's really hit well. My gosh, Ivan Herrera is scary, scary good. So they have some young guys that are actually performing quite well, and I would expect those ranks to continue. I just think there's too much talent with Walker and Gorman for this to go on, you know, a long time. The only thing you wonder is that, and we asked Ollie Marmol this on Gas House Gang a few weeks ago. You know, the only concern he has about either one of these guys is that this stuff really gets to them. And, you know, they in effect just lose their confidence and they feel overwhelmed. But he didn't think they're at that level now. And the interesting to me about Nolan Gorman, the process with him is taking a long time, but it might have long range benefits because his strikeout weight rate, I know he hasn't hit much, is actually hitting home runs and all that. I'm not trying to say he's having a good year. But the things he needs to improve on to be a good hitter, he's really doing. Like his strikeout rate is down. His walk rate is way up. His chase rate is down considerably. And he doesn't swing and miss as often either. His contact rate is up. Now, those are the things we've all said for, you know, since he came up. It's like, boy, if he can ever do a better job with his plate discipline and not swinging at stuff off the plate and taking his walks, I mean, that would unlock it. And I actually think that's true. It just hasn't happened yet. So I'm encouraged by him. I don't know what to make of Walker, and I'm not down on Walker, but I'm just saying I don't know what the easy answer is there. We all know that, you know, the low and away sliders. Yeah. I think he's laying off those a little better than he was before.
A little, but it's not great. It's no, I mean, there's still some times where he goes fishing for something. I also think Walker has a better path to figuring things out because Gorman can do all this work during the day, but then he can't really see the results of it because he's not playing. You can look good in BP, but that's the thing Walker has. When he works on stuff, he can then go try to use it in games and they can see if it's doing anything or not. With Gorman, you might have to wait 4 days before he gets an opportunity to have three or four plate appearances.
You know, and the one thing, and a lot of people in the media, including I think some of us, have talked about with Walker, he's so big and he's so tall, and sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes the swing just doesn't get tight enough because a guy's got long arms, long legs. It's just, there's just a lot of moving parts. And I want to actually do one of my research projects on that. I know a lot of people mentioned, you know, Aaron Judge, and I think mostly they're talking about maybe him in the minors. And I know his first time up with the Yankees was pretty bad, but, you know, starting in his second year, he took off, but he was a little older than he was older than Walker was in terms of the level of experience at a particular time.
I think it's the same thing with, you know, when you deal with pitchers. If you got a 6'7" pitcher, it's a whole lot tougher to repeat a pitch than if you got a dude who's, you know, 6'1". Like, it just, it's tougher.
It is. And but once those guys just get that swing, you know, and it becomes their swing,
yeah,
and they're comfortable with every part of it, watch out. I really do believe it can be tough sometimes because you want to see results, but I really do believe it's important to stick with these guys for a while because this isn't all about today or tomorrow. And listen, the Cardinals are doing a really good job of winning games because of their defense and pitching, even if the offense is down a little bit. They just can't be premature with these two guys. There's just way too much on the line.
Bernie, I always enjoy our conversations. Can you tell us a little bit about our friends over at Saliga Heating and Cooling?
I will. My pleasure. You know, the Miklas family has relied on Saliga Heating and Cooling, which is a Daikin Comfort dealer. We've been calling on them for about 17 years, and so we're in a good position to tell you how much we appreciate them. And why do we appreciate them? Saliga Heating and Cooling is a family-owned business since 1927. Same family. Dan Saliga is a fourth-generation owner-operator. Have been serving generations of St. Louis. And so we're part of that legacy because they've been taking care of us. And what I could absolutely vouch for is that they've always looked for low-cost solutions to save us money. They're not trying to get us to buy something or not trying to sell us something. It's the exact opposite. And their integrity is just tremendous. And we never have to worry when Saliga's coming to the home to work on something. It's like, what are they going to tell us? That kind of thing. We trust them 100%. And that's not really easy to find. So the honesty, the knowledge, the professionalism, the prompt service, it's all there. And I want to recommend the Priority Club. It's a maintenance plan that will save you money by extending the lifetime of your current equipment. You also get priority scheduling, having the comfort, the peace of knowing your home's safe and ready for all four seasons. So if you want to find out more about anything with SaligaHeatingCooling.com, you go there, SaligaHeatingCooling.com, and this Daikin Comfort dealer will take care of you. It's Saliga Heating and Cooling.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Great to have you with us. We've got you for another about hour and 20 minutes, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Last night, man, it was a tough night for City SC. It looked like they had another victory, and instead, they once again give up late goals, and they end up losing and getting knocked out of the U.S. Open Cup when they lose their second straight to Minnesota United FC, losing yesterday 3-2. Back to MLS play this weekend. They're going to match up against Colorado, and we're very happy to welcome on from MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. He is Max Bretos. You follow him on Twitter at Max Bretos, B-R-E-T-O-S Sports. Max, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Matt, doing great. Awesome to join you. I wish it was in the midst of a St. Louis winning spree, but maybe they'll get there.
Maybe. What are you still like? You don't have to sugarcoat here. There's not a lot of positive things to say about this team right now. What are you seeing from this City team?
Well, I think, you know, I got to call their game against Sporting, a week and a half ago, and it's very odd. It's strange to put your finger on this, but even at the Open Cup game, which, you know, was watching last night, you see an effort being put. You're not seeing a team that is quitting. You're seeing a team that came up against a team they just played, getting some goals, coming from behind, but just to relinquish it. It's a bad habit, obviously, if you want to be successful. Same with the Sporting Kansas City game, where you're up 2 goals and go, here we go, we're going to win, and it gets away from you. This is not a case of a team just checking out, losing. I mean, it was one situation where they're not scoring goals, and this was a team that was scoring goals. You're like, what is going on? Fundamentally and as a group, I think you're seeing the effort, but this is a results-driven business, and you've got to get it. And at some point, if they keep if they keep absorbing losses, I think that that collective effort is going to slide, or that faith in the coach. But I think it's still hanging on there. And this Open Cup result, because it's for a trophy and St. Louis is a club in its infancy, if they can reach out and make a quarterfinal, semifinal, or win that, it changes all the texture of this team. But it didn't happen, and now it keeps piling on. So, I mean, confidence is low, morale is low. They just need something. And if they don't get it, I think soon, because, look, MLS can be a forgiving league. You get a couple wins, mm-hmm. you're on the cusp of getting back in the playoffs. But if you don't get that, then things could get sideways sooner than later.
I can tell you in St. Louis, especially when it comes to social media, people have been on Olaf Melberg watch now for a good week and a half, 2 weeks. There were a lot of people that thought he was going to be out after this Kansas City result. Some people thought he'd be out after the first Minnesota result. Some people thought this one. You know, when you've got those games back to back to back to back and you know, playing the midweeks, it's tough to make changes. But now all of a sudden they've got this matchup against Colorado. I don't want to say the guy's playing for, you know, coaching for his job, but in many ways it feels like he might be.
I mean, you hear rumblings, and I don't know how close they are, and I think, you know, we had a chance to speak to Olaf Melberg earlier today about the team, and he's obviously accentuating the positive, and he's keeping his head above water, but how many losses can you take? And I think there's a misconception about MLS, because it is a forgiving league, that maybe you can see things out, but we've seen coaches lose their jobs already this season. We saw, 11 coaching vacancies. So, you know, teams, when they see or when they sense, and it's not so much the results, you know, the guys within the walls there at St. Louis City are seeing if the players are disengaged or if there is issues. You know, the players will talk to everyone within that club. They'll notice it, and then it could come sooner or it could come very quickly. Or I know they want this to work out, because this was an ambitious move with Olaf Melberg. It's come a long way to get here, but I imagine if it doesn't go well, then the rumblings will go. And I think the St. Louis fan base have been very patient. They're still showing up for games, but when it affects the bottom line, then you can certainly see a change in the midst. And they're playing the Colorado team that's pretty good. I mean, they have some injury issues. They're playing at altitude, which is going to be a new experience for Olaf and obviously some of these players. That's a tough place to go. And again, just this stretch. I mean, I think that Kansas City game is really where the switch has to be flicked, because you have the two-goal lead. You get the points there. Okay, you can buy some time. But then you go at Minnesota, at Colorado. Normally you would say, okay, if we can get a point or two out of this stretch, or we can advance, we're good. But these are very difficult places. Minnesota's second in the West. Minnesota wants to win the Open Cup. And now Colorado, who's a playoff team and certainly going to be pushing towards that again in 2025 with some talent and very good at home. So it's a very difficult spot for them. It's a dilemma, but if the results don't come, but what can we tell you? They St. Louis will have to adjust at some point.
And to be totally fair, Olaf hasn't been given the best hand, because this team has dealt with injuries, and as guys have come back from injury, maybe the fitness hasn't been there, where you're making some substitutions that you wouldn't generally make. You look at the game yesterday, a lot of people look to those late substitutions that were made as maybe being part of the reason that Minnesota was able to score a couple late goals. That goes along with, you try to put your best team on the field at the beginning, they may not be the best at the end, and that's just all part of kind of the story of this year's edition of City SC.
Yeah, the injuries have been an issue, and I know he's been trying some different things with the moving parts in the attack, whether they play with a true number nine with Klaus, or Toyshirt would get up in that spot, anything to stimulate. I think goals. If you can get goals, you can see a silver lining here, because that's been their issue. They haven't been able to score. So the Open Cup, at the very least, gives you that fruit that they can do it. But they're getting healthy. I mean, obviously, the Edward Leuven situation, we don't know, but that guy changes this club in a big way. The return of Roman Berkey had a little bit of a pop, but you want to see, you know, you don't want to see games where you give up two goals to Sporting Kansas City, or three goals on two occasions to Minnesota. And that's not on Roman Berkey, but defensively, you would like to have a tighter line there. But, you know, Durkin back, Berkey back, Pompeo's returned. The injury thing was certainly a legitimate excuse earlier in the season, and, you know, integrating these players back takes some time, but I don't think they'll be able to lean into that. Hopefully a full healthy load here of these players will will show that the St. Louis team can get results. I can't, if they can get something in Colorado, even if it's a tie, that would, I think, put an exclamation point, well, not an exclamation point, but a full stop on a two-game stretch where you certainly see St. Louis moving in the right direction. But if they get shellacked again like what they did to Minnesota, then it's going to be very uncomfortable within the four walls there at St. Louis.
What are those keys, though? What can City do, or what can they maybe do consistently throughout the entire matchup to go and find a way to have success against Colorado?
Well, they've always been a good pressing team, and I think Colorado is going to be a team that presses as well. Being patient, I think being good on set pieces, because they've been getting those, and it was the Pompeo goal in Kansas City wasn't off a set piece, but essentially it was a second ball off a set piece. I think stockpiling set piece opportunities, playing that game in the Colorado end, and doing good things when the ball is stopped, because they have those threats. I think they're a very good aerial team when they can certainly bring up defenders as well. I think you got to lean into that and do not turn the ball over, which is something that it's impossible to avoid. But I mean, I think there's been some spots there in very critical areas where they turn the ball over. You've just got to be more leery about that. And look, if you have to, you just knock the ball upfield and let Colorado build up. Just don't turn the ball over in your own half, which I've seen it in really inopportune times. And mistakes obviously are leading them down that path, but St. Louis has to be watertight, play smart, combine well, and make the ball stop when they're in the attacking third.
Max Brados is going to be on the call this weekend. Max, what, just in terms of Apple TV and MLS Season Pass, tell folks what they are missing out on if they have not yet subscribed.
Oh, you have complete access to all the games. You have 15 games usually on a weekend. It's all there at your fingertips. You can watch your St. Louis game. You can watch MLS 360 and get all the games. I mean, we just had the rivalry week, and there were incredible moments, including the St. Louis Sporting Kansas City game. MLS is, it's a league in diapers, as I say, but, I've been covering it for a long time. And when you see the steps that they have made with the fan experience, the stadiums, the quality of player, these incredible goals, these incredible matchups, it's just fun. It's a lot of fun to tune in on the weekend. They're doing a really good job, high quality visuals. And if you live in St. Louis, or if you don't want to support St. Louis, pick a team. They're your local side, and just build off of that, because it's a wonderful experience, whether you're watching it on Apple TV or if you have the good fortune to go to Energizer Park or one of the many other venues to experience MLS. There was a time where I didn't think this league was going to be able to reach anything like this, and now it is, and it's going to keep getting better. And competitively, I've seen a big difference. So it's a good time. 30 teams too.
Yeah. There's a bunch. Max, appreciate the time as always.
It's a lot.
Yeah, there is. Thank you for the time, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again down the line.
Sounds good, Matt. Good luck to St. Louis City this weekend.
All right, very good. That's Max Brados joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. Still have a lot coming up. We expect to be joined by a Battlehawks player at about 7:20. There's a cool baseball event being put on by Sabre coming up very soon here in St. Louis as well. We'll tell you all about that. So a lot coming up. Still get a chance to take your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, all of it. That's on the way. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into a Gray Bar Sports Overline on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it on KMOX, the Graybar Sports Open Line, as we continue on here on the program. If you want to chime in, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T. P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can always just leave a chat and we'll take a look at that. In fact, just a little while ago, Bus sends in a message, said, is there any legitimate reason why Brendan Donovan does not represent the United States in the next WBC? I personally have not come up with any. I feel like he's got a pretty good shot of being there in that. I haven't heard him speak specifically on if he wants to do it, but I would think he does because his love of country is something that he has spoken on before. I generally try to read everything. I know John Denton from MLB.com wrote about a little bit about Donovan this past week. I saw a tweet about it. I didn't get the chance. I still need to go back and read it. So maybe he said in that whether or not he'd be interested. I guess he'd be interested. Yeah, I mean, look, we'll see what the roster looks like. We'll see who says. It seems like a lot of guys are saying yes right now. That's the main thing here. That, you know, the first guy in was Aaron Judge. Didn't Paul Skeens say that he was going to do it? Kyle Sixt is here. Am I missing anybody? I know Judge and Skeens. Has anybody else been announced on the WBC roster?
I'll check it out. I know okay. Those are the big two.
Yeah, so those are the two that are. So is there a chance he's on it? Yes. This is going to sound terrible. I'm going to talk out both sides of my mouth for a second because I'm very good at that. I kid. I love the WBC. Like, I love the WBC. I love watching the games. I love how much it, how the bigness of the moments, if that makes sense. At the same time, I think it does impact Major League teams in terms of getting ready. There's a reason teams ramp up the way that they ramp up. And when you have to change the schedule of the ramp up, I think it can have an impact. And I'm fine with a guy or two, but I mean, 3 years ago, what was it, like 13 or 16 guys in the Cardinals organization were on WBC rosters. And the Cardinals, I've talked about this a lot. It bugged me. It bugged me. I was bugged in the moment, and I continue to be bugged by it. As it was happening, the narrative was, oh, this is great. Our guys are going out and they're playing games that matter, and this is just going to help them be even more ready for the season. And then the Cardinals had a terrible season, and they shifted the narrative to, well, spring training, you know, so many guys were at the WBC. Like, it's one or the other. Which one is it? And I again. So I love the idea of the WBC. I think from a Cardinal standpoint, if you've got a few less guys participating in it, it's not the worst thing in the world. We'll see what happens with Wilson Contreras. Contreras did not participate his last time around because he had just joined the Cardinals and he was learning pitchers and everything. Maybe it's a little bit different. Kyle, did you get anybody? Has anybody else been named, or is it just those two?
Those are the big two.
Okay, so Mark DeRosa is still working on it, and we'll see what he ends up doing. That's a tough job for Mark DeRosa because he's got to like deal with the politics of all the major league organizations and training staffs and coaching staffs and managers and general managers and president of baseball operations. They're going to be in the ear. They are in the ear of DeRosa. They are trying to have as much control as possible on, especially from a pitching standpoint, how many pitches a guy's throwing, how you're going to use them, all that sort of stuff. That's just because of the politics that go along with it. That's a tough gig, and people always say, "Well, should you move it? Can you put the WBC somewhere else?" I don't think you can. I think this is the least terrible spot for it. It's terrible, but it's the least terrible. Nobody's going to play in it, at the end of the year, it would be malpractice to do it in the middle of the offseason where you're asking guys to come down off the season, ramp back up for the WBC, come back down again, and then ramp up again. You're not going to stop the Major League Baseball season in the middle of the year. You're not going to play 15 less games in the regular season to accommodate a stop. Like, it's the least terrible. And it's not changing. As long as I love the WBC as a fan watching baseball. I love it. I think it's good for baseball. I think its impact on being good for baseball outweighs all the other stuff. So I'll deal with the other stuff, but it would be naive not to at least acknowledge the other stuff that is going on as a result of the WBC, if that makes sense. All right, coming up in hour number two, we hope to talk with a Battlehawks player maybe in about 15 or 20 minutes. We're going to talk about a cool event that is going to commemorate 150 years of professional baseball in St. Louis. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. We are rolling on. It is a Thursday night full two-hour edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Gray Bar. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
You know, one of my favorite things about the Strike Zone Hour is this beat right here. I like this. We only got like 2 seconds left of it. We need to get that thing to go longer. I could just be like talking over that for a while. That sounded good. Welcome in. Gray Bar Sports Open Line Strike Zone Hour, brought to you by Gray Bar headquarters in St. Louis, a great place to work, as we have you for another hour. As always, if you want to join us, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's a call, that's a text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. And we'll continue on. We are hopeful to be able to have a Battlehawk player joining us in the next 10 to 15 minutes. They've had some travel issues today, so everything is kind of, we're flying by the seat of our pants on that one. And then coming up later on this hour, I'm looking forward to this. There's going to be a really cool event that's going to be taking place in St. Louis that's going to be commemorating the 150-year anniversary of Major League Baseball in St. Louis. And Brian Flaspoehler is going to join us. Sabre is putting on the event, so he's going to talk to us about that event coming up in just a little while here on the program. Wanted to look ahead to what's going to happen with the Cardinals over the next few days, because they've got an important series coming up against Arizona. And like, in the grand scheme of things, if they don't win the series, it's not the end of the world. They're still fine. They're still playing really good baseball. It's nice after losing a series at home, which you never want to do. If you can come back and win a series, then you can salvage the homestand and make it at least 500, which you want to go better than 500 at home. But once you've lost a series, once you've lost two out of three, go win two out of three in the next one, it feels a little bit better. But I do And I'd be interested to hear from people on this one if you happen to be here. Like, are you still reserving judgment on this team? Which I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And in some ways, I'm reserving judgment. I feel confident in saying that this is a pretty good ball club that's fun to watch. Like, am I willing to go as far as saying that this is going to be a team that wins in the high 80s to low 90s or something like that? No, I'm not willing to go there. But I'm confident in saying that this is a pretty good ball club. And it's a ball club that's fun to watch. We have seen the attendance come up a little bit. I think we've seen like the social media reaction be a little bit better. I've told the story a couple times. I was at a kind of a sports bar, restaurant-y type place over the weekend, this past weekend, when a Cardinals game was on. And I saw a lot of people who were very engaged while watching the game on TV and had a lot of reaction to it. And that's something that I haven't seen a lot of over the last couple years. So all these things are good signs. But I sense that a large portion of the fan base or a large portion of fans in St. Louis are still kind of taking a wait-and-see approach. That they haven't bought in, that they want to see this team go a little bit further and continue to win. And that's where, you know, the fact that, and this is what Kevin Wheeler and I talked about earlier today on the Redbird Rush Hour, this is where that's a little bit interesting compared to kind of the national reaction to it, is that the national reaction to this Cardinals team is, hey, they're a really good team, and they're fun to watch, and they've got some very intriguing pieces. Here's the difference, though. If the national media, the people who are talking about it, are wrong about it, well, they don't have to, like, come back around and say, oh, we were wrong. Like, they just talk about other stuff. Like, it's not something that really has much of an impact on them. Whereas if you're going to go all, if you've been very frustrated with the direction of this franchise, and then you start to give them a shot again, and then all of a sudden you feel like it's back the way it was over the last couple of years, well, then you felt like you started to give your heart a little bit to something once again, and it was let down. So it is a valid thing for you to take a little bit of time. But another thing, and Kevin Wheeler mentioned this today during the Dave Glover show when they were talking with Ricky Horton. We have like footballized all sports, where we are living and dying with every stinking game. And in football, when you're playing 17 games, you can do that because every game means so much. But in baseball, where 10 games is about equal to what one game is worth in the NFL, and even for college football for that matter, as they're continuing to play more and more games, at least for the teams that get into the college football playoff, the fact that there is social media reaction to every single game in real time. And look, I'm as guilty of this on anybody. I literally host a post-game show after every single game, giving you the chance to call in and text in and tweet in and do all of those things to react kind of in a big fashion to what we just saw over the last 3 hours before. So I'm as guilty as anybody in like creating the environment where we are reacting very strongly to every single game that's played. That's actually why something that I've appreciated here recently about this team is like, there are acceptable losses. When that comes out of your mouth, it sounds kind of counterintuitive. Like, what do you mean there's acceptable losses? Well, what I mean by that is every team in baseball is going to lose at least 60 games each year, or almost every team in baseball. So if at minimum you're losing 60, well, then there's some losses out there that are not super painful. There's some losses where you feel like you played well and you just tip your cap to the other team. And that's happened twice here recently. That second game against Detroit, the game, the Scooble game that they lost 5-4, that was a game where the Cardinals played well. They didn't win the game. There were a lot of decisions in that game that potentially impacted the team winning or losing, and it was a lot of fun hosting the post-game show that night because we were able to dive into some of those decisions that were made, and Oliver Marmol really, really helped us with that one because of the answer that he gave in his post-game media session going through his reasons for a bunch of decisions that he made. I thought it was really intriguing to go through that. But all that being said, that was in many ways kind of an acceptable loss in the sense that you played well and you just happened to get beat. Same thing with the second game of the Philadelphia series. That was a game that they lost by a 2-1 score. They played well, they just got beat. You know, there's a lot of difference between that. There's been some bad losses this year. There's been some really bad losses this year. The second game of the Boston series, that was a bad loss. There's just been, you know, we could go down through and some different things that have happened. There have been a handful of losses this year where you go, man, that should have been a win, or man, they did not put their best foot forward. But those are kind of few and far between. Over 162 games, you're going to get those. You're going to get those. And the team hasn't gotten a lot of those here recently. So we're looking at this as it goes along. And I think a lot of fans are kind of stuck in a weird spot because they don't know if they should go all in on this team or not. Yet the team keeps playing a really entertaining, fun brand of baseball. And that's why, going back to where I started all of this 5 minutes ago when I started talking down this pathway, that takes me back to why I think this series against Arizona is important. More so than other years where a team has high expectations and they're playing along those expectations. Or even a year where the expectations are just for a team to be kind of pretty good. Like Cardinals are 27-23. They're kind of pretty good based off their record. If that's what the expectations are that you're going to be, well, you know what? You can lose 2 out of 3 against Detroit, and you can lose 2 out of 3 against Arizona, and you just take it as though it was a not-so-great week, and they're going to get things going again. Whereas, if you, right now, where it feels like a lot of people are still trying to figure out whether or not they're going to go all in, look, this impacts the Cardinals from a ticket-selling standpoint. I'm sure, yeah, Kevin said earlier when we were talking about this, how when he was walking in the game, he saw long lines at the ticket office as he was walking in. Like, you haven't seen that. You haven't seen lines at the ticket office much this year. So you finally got that coming in for this series against Detroit, and they end up losing 2 of 3. How do you keep that continuing? You know, so from a baseball standpoint, from a business standpoint, from a fan interaction standpoint, from a fan engagement standpoint, all these things, what happens on the field is impacting that, and you're kind of on this line right now where people are kind of leaning one way or another, trying to figure out if they want to go all in with this. So you lose a series against Detroit. I think there's some value and some importance in being able to go have some success against Arizona for those people who are starting to pay attention, starting to buy in. You give them a little bit more positivity. Okay, we hope to have a Battle Hawks player in our next segment. I don't know for sure that we will. Again, they have dealt with travel issues today. So if we have one, we'll talk to them. If not, we'll just keep the Cardinals conversation going. Either way, you're going to be a winner, hopefully, because we got good stuff coming up. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Back out on a Graybar Sports Open Line. It is a strike zone hour. We were hoping to talk with the Battle Hawk. I'm not sure if that's going to happen again. They had some travel issues getting into St. Louis, which that happens when you travel the way they travel. Just, I can't imagine putting together the flights and everything that go along with, you know, traveling for every single game. Just the group and everything. I believe they travel from a, I don't know if they charter. Off the top of my head, I got to think through that. I know their flight was delayed, which makes me think it's a commercial thing, but charter flights get delayed as well. So they have to fly charter. They have to, that would be too tough. I think I've asked that question before and I forget what the answer is. Nonetheless, that doesn't really matter for our conversation right now. I do want to remind you, Battlehawks are going to be in action tomorrow night at the Dome. They match up against San Antonio. If we get a call from a Battlehawk, we'll get them on. But I don't think that's going to happen today, so we'll pick up those conversations again next week. Has been announced, by the way, that the conference championship game and also the league championship game are both going to be held at the Dome no matter what. So if the Battlehawks can go on a run, their run will be at home. Obviously, from an attendance standpoint, St. Louis continues to absolutely lead the way. So it is good to see the city get rewarded. All right. Got a text message, and I wanted to get into this a little bit today. So the text message goes right into it as Building the Future is brought to you by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, chesterfieldfence.com. Kevin, not our Kevin, a different Kevin, text in and says, I'm old enough to have vivid memories of when Keith Hernandez came up and was really bad. Hit poorly, struck out a lot, and got booed by loyal Cardinals fans. He was young, he figured it out, and he became a Cardinal Hall of Famer. Jordan Walker is younger than that example. Let's give him a chance to be great. Appreciate the text message, Kevin. Yeah, I've mentioned this before. I'm a big believer in Jordan Walker, and I'm a big believer in Jordan Walker because the underlying numbers tell you that once he puts it together, he's going to be great. When you have his bat speed, when you have his exit velocity, when you have all these things there and ready to go, if you can put the other stuff in place, if you are able to have better swing decisions, if you're able to make contact more often, if you're able to do all of those things, well, then you're ready to really excel and really push forward. Now, he's been a little bit better here recently, not a lot better. He's been a little bit better. Let's run the super small sample size numbers over the last few days, because this is not that this is really worth all that much. But since in his over his last five games, he's a .286 hitter with an OPS at .857. Okay, again, that's five games. Tiny sample size. Not anything to write home about. I did think it was interesting when Oliver Marmol was asked about him on Gashouse Gang earlier in the week. He specifically said that they, you know, as they've continued to kind of tweak him, they work on stuff, then he uses it in the games, and they see if it works. And if it works, they kind of push forward in that direction. If it doesn't work, they try something else, and they go in another direction. And that they were, you know, cautiously optimistic about some of the things that they've really worked on with him recently. So maybe recent results would tell you that's going to happen. Now, all that being said, in the last game that he played yesterday against Detroit, he was not especially good. He went 0-for-3 with two strikeouts. So, and those numbers that I gave over his last five do include that. So if you were to get rid of that and go just the four games before, then the numbers would look even better. So I'm not trying to sit here and spin numbers on you, but there was a little bit of a progression and a little bit of a step back, and you don't really know what's real and what's not real. I'm glad he's getting the opportunity. And I kind of, this is where the team is really stuck in a weird spot, because I get, I don't think people, I mean, myself included, this is why I'm having, like, I'm stumbling on my words right now. I don't think any of us know what the team should be like striving for right now. You want to see them win, but it's also a year that has been defined from a transitional standpoint. You know, talking about the runway and all this stuff, and they wanted to know what they had in Jordan Walker. They want to know what they have in Nolan Gorman. They want to give these guys legitimate run, and then you win games. And like right now, you can't take Alec Burleson out of the lineup to get Nolan Gorman every day at bats. If the team stunk, you could. If the team was 10 games under .500 right now and had no sign of coming out of it, well, then, yeah, you're playing Nolan Gorman every single day at some position, whether you're DHing him or getting him at second or playing him more at third and giving Arenado more days off, like whatever it might be. But this team is winning games. So they're in this. They're once again stuck in the middle. We've talked about this team being stuck in the middle so often, and now it's a different middle that they're stuck in now, because they're playing better than most anybody from the outside expected them to play. And when you watch them play, when you use your eyes and watch what's going on the field, you can sit here and say, "Man, this is a good team. This is a team that's got a chance to be in the playoffs. This is a team that has a chance to maybe contend for the division. Are the Cubs really that much better than the Cardinals?" Like, those are the things that are going through your mind. And if you're the Cardinals, you can't ignore that. You can't say, "Oh yeah, well, we could have a winning season this year. We could be contending for a division championship, but you know what? We're gonna sit some of our best hitters and we're gonna put other guys in just because we want to know what we have in them." Like, you're not gonna do that. You can do that if you're not playing for anything. But there still has to be a little bit of this giving guys opportunities. So they are going to continue to give Jordan Walker an opportunity. Jordan Walker's in a little bit of a different spot. The roster crunch impacts him a little bit, especially now with the emergence of Alec Burleson and Ivan Herrera being the DH more often than not. So we're going to see Burleson get some time in right field, and that's going to impact the ability to get Jordan Walker into the lineup. But it's not the same situation that Nolan Gorman has, where there's no spot to play Gorman. None. Because if you're going to keep, like, you know the situation, we've talked about the circumstances since before the season got started. You've got Donovan at second. You've got Ivan Herrera now at DH. It's gotten even worse. So Herrera's a DH. If Herrera's not DHing, you're probably DHing Burleson. You know, even if you move Donovan off of second and put him out in the outfield to give somebody a day off, like, there's just not a lot of room. There's not a lot of room right now for Gorman to be able to get that opportunity. And I almost feel bad for the Cardinals in a way that, I not feel bad is probably too strong of a way to say it, but I sympathize with the fact that it's still a really important thing to Oliver Marmol and company that you give these guys an opportunity, but you're not going to not put your best foot forward, or at least close to your best foot forward, simply because that is still a goal. And look, this stuff's all going to play out. Like, it's going to work itself out. Guys are going to get injured. You're going to have... It's the thing that we talk about with Michael McGreevy. McGreevy's going to be here at some point pitching a lot in the starting rotation. It's going to happen. Thomas Tejesi's going to be back on the roster at some point in time. Like, all these things are going to work themselves out. But as it sits right now, they're just in this weird middle spot right now. And they were trying to get out of the middle, but now they're in a different middle because they've progressed to a point where they are winning a good number of games. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We are going to shift gears a little bit. There's going to be an event celebrating the 150-year anniversary of Major League Baseball in St. Louis. We're going to learn a little bit about that. That's coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. One of my favorite organizations out there is Sabre, and they are the Society for American Baseball Research. A lot of people who love the game of baseball, and they do really cool events in addition to a bunch of other stuff. And one of those cool events is going to be coming up here in St. Louis very soon, going to be commemorating the 100-year anniversary of Major League Baseball in St. Louis. It goes all the way back to 1875, when a couple teams originated and they would play against each other, and one would last a little while, the other would last a little longer. It'd be a bit until we got a long-standing team. But Major League Baseball in St. Louis did begin all the way back in 1875, and as a way to commemorate that, there is going to be an event going on very, very soon, and we're happy to welcome on to the program someone who's part of putting this all together. He is Brian Flaspohler. Brian, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Matt. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is going to be a lot of fun. May 31st at Forest Park, there's going to be a couple baseball teams that play by the old rules that are going to be playing against each other, and there's going to be a lot of other stuff going on, all to commemorate the 150-year anniversary of Major League Baseball in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's right. We recruited a couple of vintage teams, and they usually play by 1860s rules, but they've agreed to play a game by 1875 rules, which, you know, it's only 15 years, but the game did change quite a bit in those 15 years. So still not going to look like a modern baseball game. There's still a lot of differences, but should be a lot of fun. It's going to be at Lindell Field, which is just northeast of the Visitor Center. And the game itself will be at 1 o'clock, but we are going to have pregame festivities starting at noon with a band. And we'll also have, our annual used, baseball book sale. You know, we sell books at like $2 a piece. So you can really fill out your baseball library. There'll be some, St. Louis history, memorabilia, and other stuff on display. And we'll have a lot of Sabre guys out there to help talk about baseball and answer questions and just, you know, try to enjoy the day. So should be a good event.
You sent me over the list of rules for what baseball was like in 1875. I don't want to give away. So for our listeners, can you go through some of those rules and some of the uniqueness of how this is going to look different and how it did look different than how it's played now?
Yeah. So one of the major things, the first thing you're going to notice if you come out there is that nobody's wearing a glove. No batter, no pitcher, no catcher, no first baseman, nobody. So there were no gloves in 1875. So the catchers, you know, they had a pretty dangerous job because the pitcher, you know, the pitcher threw the ball underhand, but this is not softball pitching. They threw hard underhanded, so more like a Dan Quisenberry kind of side armor approach. Let's see. So pitchers don't stand on a mound. They pitch out of a 6-foot by 6-foot box. And they can stand anywhere inside that box. So pitchers would give batters different angles. They could get a little bit of a running start. They still had to release the ball in the box, but so that's a little different. Not every pitch is called by the umpire. The umpire, if a few bad pitches come, then the umpire will warn the pitcher and then eventually may call a ball. They would also call strikes, but never on the first pitch. It was considered, I guess, everybody had to get their bearings on the first pitch. So they'd never call the first pitch a strike. Let's see. They used the same ball for the whole game. So you can imagine that ball would get pretty beat up by the end of a good 9-inning game. So those are kind of the main things. You know, we'll have a commentator there to kind of help explain some of the oddball stuff that might happen during the game. I guess one more, you know, foul balls don't count as strikes. So that's another okay. Little difference than the modern game. So
That's fun. That's a lot of fun. So and people can watch a game played by these rules, which is going to be really interesting. What is the rule from 1875 that if you could implement it into today's game, you would?
Oh, my gosh. Great question. And I haven't really even thought about it. You know, it's not even on our rules list, but foul ball in 1875, the runners were still alive.
Oh, okay.
So if the ball was hit foul and a runner is, you know, in between bases, they need to get back to their base. However, to put them out, the ball has to go through the pitcher first. So, you know, a first baseman would catch a foul ball, have to throw it to the pitcher and then get it back to first before the runner makes it back. So, you know, that might be interesting, might include a little hustle on the infield because pitchers in that era would run to the base because, you know, if the pitcher catches the ball and puts the guy out, then it would count as an out. So I'm not sure I'd implement that, but that's an interesting little rule that, you know, keeps the game moving, keeps people kind of live on the bases. So
there was no infield fly rule, so you could purposely drop pop-ups and try to get double plays. I wouldn't mind that. That could create a little action in today's game.
It would be interesting. Yeah, it really leaves base runners to kind of hang out there because they really have to use judgment or just get stuck, you know, because of infield fly. So, yeah, infielder may very well drop a ball on purpose.
I love the story about how St. Louis got the first two professional baseball teams in 1875 because they were, you know, local amateur teams were sick of a team from Chicago grabbing guys. So one team started and they went and got a bunch of dudes from outside the area. And then other teams like, what are we doing? There's a bunch of guys in St. Louis who can play. So they started with the best of the St. Louis amateur teams and they would play against each other in 1875, which marked the start. But it's an interesting way for the history of professional baseball in St. Louis to get started.
Yeah, so the National Association, which was a major league at the time, it started in 1871. Before that, baseball was, you know, purely amateur, although there were professional players, money under the table, all this stuff. But 1871 became the first professional league, and it's, by most historians, considered a major league today. The best players played in that league. St. Louis didn't have a team. Many of the teams were on the East Coast, but the Chicago White Stockings were a team that was in that league. So the Chicago White Stockings, you know, they played league games, but they would play exhibitions and they would come to St. Louis and just kill the St. Louis amateur teams. And by 1875, a group of sportsmen kind of got sick of that and were like, we got to get a real team in St. Louis. So they sent a guy to the East Coast. He recruited the team, came back to St. Louis. They joined the National Association. It was really easy to join the National Association. You paid a $10 entry fee, and you're in, basically. So they did that. They formed their team, and they called themselves the St. Louis Brown Stockings because they wore brown socks. So no real creativity there. But another group of St. Louis guys were upset that there were no St. Louis natives on that team or no St. Louis local people as part of that. So they're like, well, we'll form our own team. And they formed the St. Louis Red Stockings because they had Red Sox. And these were all St. Louis amateur players. who for the most part had no professional experience. So these two teams, we went from having no teams in a league to, you know, the start of 1875, all of a sudden we had two teams in the league. And you can kind of imagine the Brown Stockings, who were veteran players, you know, were far superior. And in the very first game, May 4th, 1875, they beat the Red Stockings 15-9. That is the very first professional game that was held in St. Louis. Both teams played other league games, but the Red Stockings only lasted about 19 games in the league. They weren't good. They won four games. They lost 15. And then they're out of the league. The Brown Stockings finished the season, played. They finished fourth in the league. So they were a good team for a West Coast or a Western team. They were quite a good team. When the 1875 season ended, the National Association folded. The National League was formed, and the St. Louis Brown Stockings moved to the National League. So they became an inaugural member of the National League and played two seasons in the National League.
Mentioned this event, again, it's going to be taking place at Forest Park May 31st. You've mentioned some of the other things that are going to be going on, the used book sale. There's going to be a band there. Old-time concessions, what does that look like?
Oh, that's real simple. Just Cracker Jacks, peanuts, popcorn. You know, stuff you would kind of think about, you know, from an old time standpoint. Missouri History Museum is going to have a booth there, and they have an upcoming exhibit next year on baseball. So that's, you know, to help them promote that also. Cardinal Hall of Fame and Museum will be there. There's also kind of an event happening in the park called Play Day in the Park. So that's another family event in the park that's fairly close to our event. So we hope to, you know, send some of our people there and have them send people our way. So Forest Park should be really busy and a lot of fun that day.
Of course,
we're handing out a program that has some history and rules and also a scorecard. So we'll have plenty of Sabre people who want to teach people how to keep score if they want to do that. So
is there anywhere people can go to get more information about this leading into it?
You know, the Society for American Baseball Research local chapter has a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account. If you look up Bob Bragg chapter, you should be able to access either of those. And we'll make sure the information is out there on both of those.
All right. Very, very good. Again, this event, this could be really cool. May 31st, going to see a baseball game played by the rules of 1875, all part of a day to commemorate the 150-year anniversary of Major League Baseball in St. Louis. Brian, thanks so much for coming on and for helping organize this event. I'm sure it's going to be very, very cool, and I hope lots of people come out to it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Again, it starts at 11 o'clock on Lindell Field. And, you know, if you don't know where that is, it's just northeast of the visitor center. So real easy to find.
Awesome. Very good. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That's Brian Flaspoler joining us here on the program. Again, that's going to be a cool event. And Sabre, the Society for American Baseball Research, that's just a bunch of people who love baseball and really they dedicate a large portion of their life to baseball. And so if you're looking for something to do that day, this is something that would be a whole lot of fun to be able to take part in. All right, one more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of the program. We'll continue on in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Oh, there's my jam again. I get it for one more day. Five more seconds. Let's all listen to it together. Enjoy it. And now it's going to start to fade out. And we can only remember once what was. We're done in just a few minutes here on the program. Kyle, I got a text message from one of my big fans. Big, big fan of Matt Pauly, this guy. Now, if you remember, when the new Pope got selected, there was the initial report from ABC News that said he was a Cubs fan, which was completely incorrect. He was actually a White Sox fan. His mom was a Cubs fan. His dad was a Cardinals fan. He was not a Cubs fan. So I had some fun that night. You know, I think I went as far as saying, like, totally tongue-in-cheek, went as far, because the Cubs put on their marquee, he's a Cubs fan. which was a lie. It wasn't true. It was a mistruth. At best, it was fake news, as our president would refer to it as. At worst, it was a flat-out lie about the Pope. You can't lie about the Pope. Mm-mm. So shame on the Chicago Cubs. So I went on that tongue-in-cheek rant, having fun with that. Well, again, one of my big fans of Matt Pauly, big fan of Sports Open Line, text in, says, I've been out of earshot of Camel X since the day or two after the new Pope was announced. It was on one of those days that Matt Pauly called Chicagoans and the Chicago Cubs organization liars, all caps, liars, for claiming the Pope was one of their own. I missed if Pauly, that's me, if Pauly subsequently admitted his stupid and insulting remarks. Oh, for the days of Burns, Bragg, and Costas, who actually knew about which they commented. Big fan. Thanks for listening. Texter from the 314. I did not insult all people in Chicago. It was specifically to the Cubs. The Cubs put on their marquee, he's a Cubs fan. It wasn't true. What are you talking? And I was laughing the entire time through. I got a little piece of advice for this texter from the 314. Man, you got to lighten up. You got to have, there's got to be some fun in this world. If you hear on the Cardinals flagship station, when I am the pre and post game show host for the Cardinals, and so there is, and I grew up in St. Louis, so there is already a strong anti-Cubs feeling in all of my being. When I'm going to make fun of the Cubs a little bit about getting something wrong about the Pope and have fun with it and joke around with it, if you are going to take offense to that, I don't have anything for you. Like, you, I don't know what you need to do in your life to go get a little bit of fun, to go relax a little bit. So no, I have not subsequently admitted my stupid and insulting remarks. And there should have been nothing that should have insulted anybody about that, because we're having a little bit of fun.
Well, first of all, if something's against the Cubs, anti-Cubs, I'm for it.
Yeah.
I am absolutely for that. And for them to come out and say that, you know, he's a Cubs fan, they showed him at the World Series in White Sox stuff,
yes,
in 2005.
He is clearly, so no, like, this texter is wrong. This texter is wrong. Where is your apology? Where is your admission? Because, by the way, you can go back. Like, every single one of these shows is archived on podcast. It's archived on the video. Everything I say, you can go back. It's a very uncomfortable thing to live the life I live from a career standpoint, because I can't say a thing that is not archived. You claim, you say that I was, that I went off on Chicagoans. No, it was strictly about Cubs fans. I'm happy for the White Sox fans. They got the Pope on their side. They need all the help they can get. Good. I've got so many friends. Like, I'm happy for Ronge, Chris Ronge. He's a White Sox guy. He's got the Pope on his side. When I worked in Milwaukee, so many of my friends were White Sox fans. Good for them. They got the Pope on your side. This guy texted in, you got to lighten up. Talk to you tomorrow here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.